Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Oregon heads to Washington on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Can I hear it for the 12:30 kickoff? What time of day is your ideal kickoff time as a sports fan, college football fan? I'll pick 12:30. 12:30, 12:35 maybe, if I'm nitpicking. Maybe 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock starts to get in, like end of the game starts to get into the afternoon, late afternoon hours. I like a 12:30 kickoff. That works for me. Thank you, Pac-12, for scheduling this game at 12:30, or television, for scheduling it at 12:30. Our next guest, Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. This guy, Matt, how are you, man?
Doing good, John. How you doing?
What is your ideal kickoff time? If it's up to you.
Well, let me ask you, am I working this game or am I going as a fan?
Fan.
Fan, 12:30.
Yeah.
If I'm going as a working member of the press, I absolutely hate 12:30 games.
Why?
Because I don't get to watch any football. It's right in the middle of the day where
your job gets in the way of your fandom.
I get to get up and I have to get to the stadium. If it's a home game, over 3 hours early, and cause I got some stuff to do pregame, and then by the time I'm done with work, basically all the games are now done or are going into the second half, so I don't really get to watch really any full game of any game if it's a 12:30 kickoff. But if I'm a fan and I don't have to watch any football games, 12:30 all the way.
Now, the Washington State-Oregon game kickoff was set for 7:30. That's my least favorite.
Yeah, that from a work perspective, I like the 3 and I like the 5 o'clock. Anything outside of that, I don't like.
You're doing something that is worth bringing up off the top almost. You're doing something good with men's and women's basketball and kids that may not get a chance to go to a game unless people step up. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I did this last year, and it was widely successful I was very shocked at how well it went, and so I want to do it again. And it happens to be the men and the women are playing on the same day for Oregon basketball on December 21st. And so I'm raising money to go buy as many tickets as I possibly can for both games. The men play Texas Southern, which will be, I think, in the early afternoon. And then the women that night are playing Kansas State. So the women are playing a pretty big name, and the men are playing a team that beat them last year. And we'll donate those tickets through a whole bunch of different avenues in the Eugene, Springfield area. Kid Sports, which is a youth organization that runs a lot of the youth leagues here in Eugene, Springfield area, we'll donate some tickets there. Tickets to some local elementary schools, the Boys and Girls Club. And then we had some people as far as, I think, Grants Pass last year drive up to claim some tickets. So it's a really cool deal. I've tweeted out the link a couple times on my account. You can go on GoFundMe and just search send kids to Duck Basketball, and that'll pop up as well on GoFundMe.com. So $1,500 is what we've raised. Goal is $5,000. We hit $4,000 last year.
How can people get involved?
Oh, I mean, it's literally just, I'll tweet out the link again, but it's literally just sharing. That's the biggest driver right there. I mean, I'm not even asking for people to donate. It'd be awesome if you could, but just getting eyeballs in front of it, because eventually people will donate. And it's proven. I was blown away at it last year of just the amount of shares when those go up and it gets spread around through Facebook or on Twitter or email, just word of mouth. The more people talk about it, the more donations go up. So that's the best way to really do this is just to share it with your friends and neighbors.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Why is it important to you? Why does that hit a chord with you?
A lot of people helped me when I had my car accident a couple years ago, and I wanted to come up with a way to thank the Oregon fan base and just people in the state of Oregon or wherever, and I couldn't personally thank every single person. It was just, I didn't know who helped me and my family. I didn't, I didn't know names, and so, I physically just couldn't find the people. And best way I figured of to doing it was just passing the buck down the road to another person in need and, raising some money and helping kids do dreams that they don't necessarily get to do. We had a lot of kids last year go to big sporting events that they don't normally get to go to. My kids go to them all the time. And we're season ticket holders for basketball. That's their favorite sport. They go to football games because my parents take them or we get snacks and tickets. And, I don't really realize it until I talk with other kids of they've never been to Autzen Stadium or they've never been to Matthew Knight Arena, even if it's Oregon against Texas Southern, a game that goes for $3 or $4 on StubHub, they, their parents can't afford to take them or they just don't get to go. And so that kind of moved me as, let's get some kids and some experiences that they don't normally get.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. I didn't feel like we learned a lot about Oregon on Friday night. And they beat Colorado. They did what they should have done, I think, to a Colorado team that was a little decimated. I did get a chance to see Utah up close. Man, are they physical. That's a long way in the future if you're an Oregon fan, but I would really like to see Oregon and Utah on December 6th at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best outcome for the conference. If Oregon didn't play Arizona State, I would say that would be another one. But they play each other too, and I said going into the beginning of the year, Oregon was going to lose one game. I thought they'd beat Auburn, and I thought they would lose at Arizona State. And I'm going to beat that drum till it's dead because I was one of the few people out there that was like, "Hey, don't sleep on this ASU team. They might be pretty good." I was expecting a little bit more from their quarterback as a true freshman, but look, Herm's got his group going. They play really good defense, and now the quarterback's starting to figure things out. But you're right. I mean, the ideal scenario for Oregon and for the Pac-12 really is for the Ducks and the Utes to meet in Santa Clara on a Friday night, Ward, and play another a big time football game, which could end up being the biggest game of the year because of some of the outcomes we've seen today that have kind of hurt some of these big games. USC's down, Washington has two losses, which has kind of taken away a little bit of the national prevalence of this weekend's game for Oregon and Washington.
Let's talk Washington, because this is a team at halftime last week that really looked to be struggling on the offensive side of the ball. They figured something out in Tucson, came out, had a good second half, won the game kind of going away. I think they feel much better about themselves entering this Oregon game. But to this point, I sort of feel like Oregon has the momentum. Oregon's playing well. How do you see this game? I like the Ducks.
Yeah, I watched the entire Arizona-Washington game. That was the luxury of the Ducks playing on Friday, as I watched a ton of football on the weekend. But I'm with you. I think Oregon is probably playing as the better football team right now. I also think they're probably the more physical team on both sides of the football. Washington, they have talent, no doubt about it. I am not sold on Jacob Eason yet as a quarterback. A lot of his big games have come against group of five teams. I mean, you eliminate his group of five games from his stat sheet and his numbers significantly drop. He's completing less than 60% of his passes. He's thrown just 3 touchdowns, 2 of which came last week at Arizona. Third down conversions for the Huskies, they're like 53 or 54% overall. And the number is even worse in Pac-12 play. So And then the defense, they were just decimated by so many guys, you know, graduating and going pro. And, you know, they're not recruiting like they're recruiting at a high level, but they are not recruiting like an Alabama or a Georgia or Ohio State or a Clemson that, you know, if they're bringing in 3 or 4 or 5 stars and bringing in 4 or 5 more top 50 guys every year, and you can just plug and play. You know, that defense has needed time to adjust. Now, they looked pretty good against an Arizona team, but I watched that game thinking Arizona muffed 2 punts, which turned into 6 points. They gifted another touchdown to Washington on a fumble from Khalil Tate. And then on top of that, Arizona was trying to make Khalil Tate a pro-style quarterback when that's not even close to what his skill set sets up to be. So I see progress being made from UW's defense, but I also want to take into consideration, like we said the same thing about Oregon. Like, they haven't played any legit quarterbacks up until last weekend against Colorado. I think you have to say that for what Washington faced against Arizona last night or on Saturday, because that Arizona team is weird.
Yeah, it's strange. It was a weird game. I don't like the Pac-12. We're getting some results that I don't trust right now. Is there something about Washington that scares you? Is there anything about him that makes you go, ooh?
Well, Hunter Bryant, I mean, that tight end is nasty. He's really, really good. And he's probably the league's best tight end. He's like a big receiver, can pull away. You know, Troy Dye is going to have his – I'm assuming Troy Dye will be walked up on him quite a bit. Troy Dye is going to have his work cut out for him, guarding that guy at tight end. Just a very, very good player. I wonder about Puka Nacua, a freshman receiver. Oregon really wanted that guy, and he hardly played up until the Arizona game. And Washington fans and media were asking Peterson, why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? Peterson said he's not ready, and they finally threw him out there for a ton of snaps against Arizona, and he went off. He's a big receiver. He was an All-American coming out of high school. So that he was committed to USC at one point and then went to Washington. And that Puka Nacua is going to be – that might be kind of the difference maker, because if he can become a vertical threat downfield, he's got the size to be a big playmaker against Oregon's DBs.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is our guest. There, you know, the game being at Husky Stadium obviously gives me pause because it's Oregon going on the road, but I trust this team more than maybe I did 4 or 5 weeks ago. Am I nuts for doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be the thing that scares you the most for Oregon. And I think you're right. I would side with you. But I also kind of am also kind of like, I think they figured this out, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of one of those I'd rather see it before I believe it type of situations, just because they played Auburn week 1. And while that was a more pro Auburn crowd than it was Oregon, it was still, you know, 60-40 type of a fan base split. You know, pretty large chunk of Oregon fans were on their side at that game. And then Stanford has no atmosphere. I mean, Those are the two road games that they've played this season, and nothing is going to compare to what they will be seeing on Saturday afternoon at Husky Stadium. And you can believe that fan base is going to be, you know, fired up and try and create as hostile of an environment as they can, because A, Washington's division life is on that game. If they lose, they're done. They're probably not going to win the division, and they don't want Oregon to be the team that knocks them out of that. And then on top of that, they want revenge against Oregon for what happened last year. So, yeah, I think that they would be able to handle that. But, again, going and seeing how they handled Washington State last year, which was a true road environment, how they handled Arizona on the road and that environment for a fired-up crowd, they didn't perform very well in those two instances. And, I just have slight reservations that that could be an issue.
The things that I trust, I mean, I Penei Sewell, I find myself, and I wrote this over the weekend, watching him, and that's different for me to just focus on one offensive lineman and watch one guy work. He's been a lot of fun to watch this year. Is he an Outland Trophy guy, or is that going too far?
I think he is. I think he's going to make the finals, and he probably has a really good chance at winning it. And last week I was on your show saying Oregon better throw the ball like crazy against Colorado. I think this is a game where if you're Oregon, you pound the football and you try at least early on to beat Washington into submission and go off that left tackle and Penei Sewell and left guard Shane Lemieux and Jake Hansen at center and see if you can just kind of submit Washington into a loss and make this a very physical game. Don't let Washington's offense even touch it. And then take your deep shots downfield with play action and some big plays in that nature. I really think this is a football game where you want to run the football early and see if you can just kind of demoralize this Husky team, because I don't think they're built to come back from a two-score game, especially when Oregon comes out and it just plays a very physical brand of football, because they're bigger, they're stronger, I think. Oregon's deeper, and they are the more physical team. And there's something about a team coming out and just running you over time and time again for a score and doing it right again. That's very demoralizing. And I think if they could pull that off, that might be the emotional clincher that they need.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is our guest. Matt, before I cut you loose, I know the conference is sort of up and down and anybody's beating anybody right now. But if we talk contenders, who are the title contenders? I still think that's a pretty small group of teams. Who do you have as a contender right now for the Pac-12 championship?
Oregon, Utah, Arizona State, and then I'll throw in the Huskies just because I think if they win this game, there's enough pieces on the table where they could make the run and get the victory and do it. If USC had beaten Notre Dame, I would have thrown them in there too, but I just wonder what their psyche is going to be like moving forward.
Yeah.
But I think it's primarily going to be just the main three, Oregon, Utah, and Arizona State in that order.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter. I have retweeted the link for you wanting to bring a bunch of kids to games. I think that's a good thing, so good on you for doing something good with your platform.
Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate
Matt,
it.
I will see you at Husky Stadium, Matt.
Absolutely.
All right, take care. There he is, Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. I like that he's doing that. I encourage you, if you want to help kids get to games, I mean, that's a good thing, right? Kids going to games. And I like that Matt's doing that with his platform. By the way, we're going to play Who Got Smoked coming up. You're going to tell me over the weekend who got smoked. If you also would like to win some tickets, unfortunately, both the teams are on the road this week. I am told that we will have tickets for Oregon and Oregon State's next home games, though. So I don't have any this week, but continue to do that. And make sure that if you are somebody who really enjoys this show and you want to get all the extras, including winning tickets and some inside the show, I was going to say inside baseball, but it's not really baseball, inside radio show stuff, make sure that you are also a member of the Bald Face Truth Seekers group on Facebook. That's part of the Bald Face Truth Facebook page. All right, coming up, Who Got Smoked? Again, the phone number for that, which you should have programmed into your phone anyway, 503-417-7575. You can start filling up those phone lines. We're going to get somebody, maybe we get a first-time winner this week. You think?
I hope so.
Yeah, somebody go get Reverend's Barbecue. All right, you want to win a $50 Reverend's Barbecue gift card? Here's your chance. Line up now. We're playing Who Got Smoked coming up after this short commercial break. You're listening to the Bald Face Truth statewide, whether you're in Eugene on Fox Sports Eugene, KORE, or you're in Klamath Falls on 960 AM, the Fox affiliate there, or in Portland on 750 The Game. You have the BFT Radio Network. Shout out to Chelsea Audio Video. Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com to see all the great audio and video solutions that Chelsea Audio Video can do in your home. They are the audio-video experts. Ford Montgomery and the team there, they are lights out. They're the best. Like, it's not even a who's better, LeBron or Kobe or Michael Jordan. It's not even a debate like that. Chelsea Audio-Video, they are the experts. They are the best. That's why Anna and I walked through the doors at Chelsea Audio-Video, and we started, you know, tinkering around with the home automation stuff. And guess what? This week, that stuff's being installed in our home. I'll give you updates on how it's working and how it's going and sort of the convenience of it all. But I'm super excited about the security cameras and the thermostat and the lighting and the audio video solutions all working in one place, making our home smarter. You can do the same by going to ChelseaAudioVideo.com. You can literally go to that website during this segment. I won't hold it against you if that's what you... If that's what you do, you go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com, load the browser or your phone browser, and you can see all the services. You can see the team. They have a blog on there. You can see what the Control 4 system is all about. If you want them to design an audio or video solution, you can do that there as well. All right. This has come. The time of the show has come. Can I start that over? The point of the show. No, not that. The juncture of the show.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today.
Let's play.
It's time for Who Got Smoked? It was a wild weekend, and we want to hear who you think had it bad. Let us know who got smoked. Powered by Reverend's Barbecue in Selwood, home of the Sandwich and Session Special. Call 417-7575. Today's top submission will win a $50 gift card to Reverend's Barbecue.
I pride myself on being a first take kind of guy. I don't, like, even for the television stuff that is taped, I record it as if it's live. So if you see me on the field at Autzen Stadium or Reser Stadium or on the set at KGW, I go, all right, I pretend it's live. Any mistake, I just, hey, I'm going. Because I don't like recorded, pre-recorded stuff. I don't like that. So what I meant to say was we've arrived at the point of the show where we give away a $50 Reverend's Barbecue gift card to a clever listener. And you have a chance as a clever listener to win this thing. Now, we do have one line that's still available, and that's unusual for this segment. So grab it. Let it rip. We will decide who's going to Reverend's Barbecue. Jack and Tiger is going to get the first shot. Jack, who got smoked?
I'm going to say it was Jason Garrett. He got beat by a quarterback that beat Mono and him in the same beat. Also, his players wouldn't even high-five him coming back to the sideline when he went out to congratulate them. So he's definitely in the hot seat. He's getting smoked hardcore.
Have you ever won this competition before?
You know, it's funny about that. I won it once a couple months ago. And I tried to do it the past 3 weeks, and each of those weeks, my idea got taken. I just couldn't get through.
Yep.
Each one of my ideas won, and I was like, ah, oh, dang.
See? You got to seize the momentum when you have it. The trend is your friend. I say that. People always tell me, I run into people, and they'll be like, I tried to get through. I could not get through. Well, it's hard. There's a lot of demand for this. I see the ratings. This is the number one sports radio show again in the last book. And by book, I mean 3 months. Talking regardless of format, local sports shows, regardless of time, it's the number one show. Okay? I don't care if you're on in the morning, you're on at night, you're over and overnight, middays, right here in the station that you're listening to, that is where the bulk of the audience is listening. TJ's in Tigard. TJ. Who got smoked?
You know, it's always a pleasure to take a shot at the Oregon Ducks former head coach. And the Florida State Seminoles got smoked. It was 42-0, I believe, at halftime. And in the third quarter, Clemson took out their starters. And, I mean, for a team like Florida State who, you know, with every win that they get the – winning on the horizon to just turn around and absolutely get smoked after a bye week just brings delight to my heart.
Have you ever won this competition before?
I have when, it was the nighttime show with Chop and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Fletch. So we're not going to count it. We're not going to count it. We're going to say with me giving away the barbecue, TJ and Tigers never won. So TJ, you're on hold. Now, that's not going to determine who wins. So just be honest with it. I'm just curious. I'm probably not going to let you win if you're like a four-time winner. And it's close. But if you're a four-time winner and you just school everybody else, you're winning. Just means you're good. It's the American way, okay? This is not a socialist activity. Ryan in Portland. Ryan, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
Who got smoked?
I think it was both the Cleveland Browns and the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I am a Cleveland fan. That team is an unmitigated disaster, and the Seahawks had no business in giving them a chance to win that game. So I'm going to say both the Browns and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that the Seahawks are, you know, they got some gamers on that team, Russell Wilson included, but they're not a great team.
Yeah, probably not, although I'd take half of that team over what we got going on in Cleveland right now any day of the week.
Yeah, I thought I was kind of watching that game, and I was like, you know what? Maybe the Browns will pull it out. But I also want the Seahawks and Niners both to not lose again until they play each other. You know, kind of magic that would be. Seahawks fans, you got to be scared, though. For keeping it real, there were some years as a Niner fan where I was like, man, those Seahawks teams are scary. This isn't one of them. JD's in Milwaukee. JD, who got smoked?
Oh, Willie Taggart. I agree with TJ. You know, it's the bottom line is, you know, he lied to us. And I mean, you've mentioned it many times. And thanks for all you guys do, too.
Appreciate you. JD in Milwaukee, doubling down on Willie Taggart. I kind of figured that Clemson was going to get them in an ugly way. But I also know that I just don't think it's going away, you know, and by the way, Willie Taggart's buyout is like $16 million plus at this point. That's not going to happen. It's too much money right now for Florida State. But at some point, if Taggart does not turn this around, Florida State's going to go, okay, that's our number. It's probably somewhere around $7 million, $6 million. Jerry's in Salem. Jerry, who got smoked? Jerry got smoked. Jeff's in Portland. Jeff, who got smoked?
Hey, John, it breaks my heart to say this, but the top two quarterbacks drafted in the 2016 draft got smoked this weekend, one of which is close to home, and the other which is Jameis Winston trying to set new interception records. I thought he was going to get it, and then I Googled it, and apparently there was 7 interceptions thrown in the NFL in one game, so Jameis was just a couple off, but 5 interceptions in a game to start off Sunday morning, and then watching Mariota get pulled out of the game and finally benched. We all knew the day was going to happen, but boy, it really, he got smoked just as much as Jameis did.
I hope that Marcus gets himself out of Tennessee. Have you ever won this before, Jeff?
Yes, I have. I asked Alabama Adrian out and wasn't able to quite seal the deal that one time.
Yeah, it was a good effort, though. I don't mind, you know, people taking a shot. But then if she went out to barbecue with every guy who won the contest, I don't know. After a while, she'd be like, barbecue again? Jameis Winston, I heard it said on Twitter, he misses too many threes, and Mariota misses too many layups. I don't know if I agree with that. How do you make a layup when you're on your back? Guy's been sacked 22 times. Sean and Sandy. Sean, who got smoked?
I hate to say it, John, but it was Oregon State Beavers and Oregon State fans. I mean, these fans are hardcore. They love their Beavers, and I'm afraid they picked the wrong coach. They picked a really nice guy, and he was a safe coach to pick. But this guy is just not getting it done for an offensive coach. And you know that. How long can we protect this guy?
Well, I think you got to give him a shot to get his players in position. I think there's another win or two left on this schedule if you're Oregon State. I think it's tough down the stretch. but they were completely physically overmatched against Utah. And again, you've got a Utah program with Kyle Whittingham that has so much continuity, so much success. I said it off the top of the show. I'm going to pull up the numbers so I don't screw this up. But if you're thinking about physicality in Utah football, just for a second, since we're talking about barbecue, you know, you got a bunch of guys on that Utah team that if I said, hey, who's going to get Reverend's barbecue? Those guys would be lining up going, barbecue. But the bottom line is this. Let's look at the physicality of the Utah football team versus Oregon State. In fact, let's compare them to the New England Patriots instead. Utah has 19 players on the roster who are listed at 305 pounds or more. The Patriots have 9. Utah has 7 players listed at taller than 6'5". 7. The Patriots have 3. Utah, Oregon State, physical mismatch. I mean, we all saw it, but I saw it on the field before the game. Literally, I said this off the top of the show. Yeah, Southwest Airlines, you know how you get on and it's like everybody's open seating? Do you have a strategy in that? Like when my wife and I are traveling, there's two of us, there's going to be a third seat and it's a Southwest flight. I literally have seen like a smaller person coming down the aisle, like there'd be a little Asian lady coming down the aisle. I will get up out of my seat and like move before she's even looked at the seat to offer her the seat. Like, please sit here. And my wife just starts cracking up because I've been on the flight. One time I was on a flight. This dude got on. It's like a tuba player. He's got his instrument with him. And I got the only seat next to me. I'm like, this is going to be a long three hours. So, yeah, the Utah guys were like that tuba player. Big bodies. All right, who wins this? Who do you guys like? Peter, should I go back through them or no?
I've got it jotted down here. I liked Jack and Tiger, Jason Garrett, getting beat by a guy that just beat Mono. I think that's solid. Sean and Sandy's right, though. The Beavers and Beavers fans got smoked. Had a chance. I mean, you're maybe not going to win, but that was a bad showing.
I liked TJ.
TJ said Willie Taggart?
Yeah.
That's always fun.
I think because we haven't had that before, and TJ, by the way, TJ, you're going to barbecue. You're going to be the winner.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Who's going with you?
Probably my pops or my wife, maybe, but we got two little babies, so I don't know how easy of a time that would be.
I like that. How old are your kids?
My son just turned 1 last week, and my daughter turned 3 in December.
Get your hands full. So I've been there.
We're knee-deep in diapers and all sorts of other stuff. All right.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.